Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today I want to take a look at The Boys, which is a superhero show on Amazon Prime. It's created by Eric Kripke, Evan Goldberg, and Seth Rogen. So Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, you know them for the comedy. And it stars Carl Urban, Jack Quaid, Anthony Starr, and Laz Alonso. The synopsis is, a group of vigilantes set out to take down corrupt superheroes who abuse their superpowers. You can kind of consider this a rift on a lot of DC comics. And if you really think about maybe The Watchmen, this is slightly a more funnier version, play-for-laugh version of The Watchmen. It's not as noir as what The Watchmen would be. So it starts off with a character named Huey. He works at a television repair store or electronics repair store. His girlfriend comes in. He's all happy. He leaves work and they're holding hands and kissing on the street. And then all of a sudden she miraculously explodes because a superhero named A-Train runs into her right as Huey is trying to kiss her. And he is distraught and upset that his girlfriend has been killed. And A-Train is just like, well, hey, sorry, I'm out. And he runs off. In this universe, the superheroes are represented by a corporate entity called Vault International. So Vault comes to Huey and his father, who is played by Simon Pegg. Here's a $45,000 settlement for the loss of his girlfriend. He refuses to accept. His father's like, take the money. We could use it. And he's still really just upset about that. And then it shoots to another possible superhero named Annie. She goes by the name Starlight. She's trying to join Vault International. And Vault has a Justice League equivalent called the Seven. One of the Seven is retiring, so Annie wants to become one of the Seven. What happens is that she actually makes it. Think of it as like American Idol, and all of a sudden she is now a well-known superhero. People are looking up to her. So she goes to Vault, and one of the other Seven, who is the Deep, say Aquaman equivalent, he's just like, hey, well, let me show you around. And all of a sudden, he whips his penis out. And hey, this is how things work in this world. You might as well just go ahead and suck it. And then you also have another character named Billy Butcher who approaches Huey about trying to expose some of the superheroes because they're not as clean-cut as what Vault is presenting. They're, again, slightly corrupt. And then you also have a couple other people in the Seven, but there's one particular character named Homelander, who is the Superman equivalent, that he is just so just and right and very upholding of all the superhero standards that you believe. There's a mayor of Baltimore that goes to Vault about, he knows some stuff about what they're doing, what Vault International is doing. The person, at least in this moment, that's representing Vault, says like, hey, well, you can't blackmail us. And all of a sudden that mayor dies. And that's kind of what leads Billy Butcher into trying to figure out what they're doing. So let's start with Keith. What did you think of The Boys?
I knew going in that it was going to be pretty hardcore. I read some of the comic books. I knew it was going to be some hardcore stuff. I was just wondering how much of the hardcore stuff they were going to put in there. It wasn't so much a deconstruction of superheroes as Watchmen was. Kind of didn't try that. It just basically showed what happens when you have absolute power, those abilities, what that does to somebody. The biggest surprise to me was how well Homelander worked. The actor Anthony Starr.
Agreed.
He played that dude to perfect T. I mean, even the padded suit looked good on him. You knew it was padded, but you couldn't tell the way it was done and stuff. You dude actually worked out for this role, but it's actually a padded suit. But
and again, still, it looked good. Homelander is the Superman equivalent.
Right. Homelander is the Superman equivalent. He's given this Superman-esque origin backstory of a farm boy who grows up with these amazing abilities, raised with mom and dad and apple pie. And but in the end, it turns out to be a complete fabrication. Homelander is not this morally upright.
What you would believe Superman to be. He is equally as corrupt as everyone else. There's a section in the show where there's a plane going down. I guess the person that was the Wonder Woman equivalent and Homelander go.
Queen Maeve, yeah.
Yeah. go to try to stop the plane, and for whatever reason, goes wrong, mainly because of Homelander. When Homelander realizes that there's nothing he can do, it's like, well, let's bounce Queen Maeve. And she's like, no, like, these people are going to die. And he's just like, let's get out of here. And he just jets off with Queen Maeve, and plane goes down. And that shows you how different he is from Superman. But go ahead and finish your comment, Keith.
So to bring up that thing about the plane flight, there's some differences. Like, they toned down the stuff that was done in the comic books and kind of switched it up. Stillwater was a man in the comic books. So his whole weird mommy fetish he had didn't play out in the comics. But it was still the same way. The plane thing actually happened kind of differently. And in the comic books, he was more inept than he was corrupt. Put it that way. They didn't have that Deus Ex Machina, like where Superman would just pick up a plane and land it. What'll happen if you get a man-sized rocket that goes up to try to stop a 747? It's probably going to rip it in half. So basically what happened was in the comic books, when Homelander went to save the plane, he ripped the plane off. He ripped the thing open. What happened in real life, if someone were to fly up 30,000 feet and open the cabin doors in a plane, everyone's going to fucking die. Plane depressurizes. Everyone dies. Asphyxiation. He ends up fucking up. They end up fucking up the entire thing. They're more idiotic and just flat out incompetent. And their incompetence kind of feeds into their corruption. Inevitable.
Yeah,
like,
and one thing that I forgot to mention, it's really a play on a lot of social media aspects that all these superheroes are really into social media and what their image is. Mm-hmm. Compared to who
yes,
they are.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So let's get some comments from some other people. So, Matt, what about The Boys?
I have no background about this show whatsoever. I did not read the comic. I didn't even really see any previews. I was like, all right, let me go ahead and watch it. And then from the first 10 minutes, it got me hooked. It was a great combination of being a superhero, politics, and the personal demons, as well as the morality clause. As far as being a superhero, the responsibilities that it has, I like the fact that it is somewhat of a dark series and it actually ties into a lot of themes that are currently happening now, where you have corruption, you have favoritism, you have harassment. It's just phenomenally well done. I don't plan on reading the comic books because I want to continue to be surprised by all the twists that are happening on here. A lot of it for me is not predictable at all because I don't know anything about a lot of these characters. And I like the fact that as far as developing the characters, that's one thing that a lot of series lacks, but this one clearly does not. Really love the series. I can't wait until season 2, from what I've been told, is being filmed right now.
Yep.
Although not for another year, I look forward to it. And I'm trying to get more people to watch it so I can talk to them about it. Just a shame that it's on Amazon Prime because most of my friends don't have it versus Netflix, but a phenomenal series. Can't wait for season 2.
All right, James.
It was very good. I did not really expect much. Word of mouth, people were saying, hey, man, you need to check out The Boys. The Boys is pretty good. At first, I wasn't quite sure if I was going to do it, but I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and knock it out. I just binge watched that in a day. I was just so invested in it. It was a very good story. What Matt said, it had a good mixture of everything. I don't know anything about the comic at all. And I probably won't research anything just because I like the way this is going. Usually, like when you research something and you're like, hey, well, this didn't happen like this, you start critiquing it more. But I like it the way it's going right now. So I'm just going to leave that alone. The characters were well drawn out. I was just so amazed by it because I really had low expectations. Because one, coming from Amazon Prime, I really don't know anything that stood out to me except for what the Jack Ryan thing. I know that was pretty good from what you guys were saying, but this one, it was very impressive. The acting was good, the chemistry was good, the characters were interesting. It was just a overall good series, and I really did enjoy the end, even though I kind of had a feeling something was going to happen like that, but not really. It just seemed that it just worked out perfectly, and I'm going to piggyback off of Matt. Just looking forward to next season.
So I like this a lot, and I had also binge watched this in one day. It seemed like every episode just kept getting me more engrossed. It went into a lot of different directions. So it's just not about Huey and Billy Butcher getting revenge. It goes into some of the backstories for some of the superheroes, quote unquote superheroes, super people. And then you also have this air of corporate corruption that doesn't necessarily exist in other comic books. So, I mean, again, you have somebody like Superman, but what if you have this evil corporation behind the Justice League manipulating everything from the news to movies to the internet, just people's emotions. People want to look up to Superman, but Superman is corrupt. It's about as bad as anybody else that you know. And then, even though I don't really like him as an actor, Jesse T. Usher did a good job.
He was actually pretty compelling as that. I like the way they played him as being more of an athlete, like that arrogant
football player, but
runners or something like
so
that.
So yeah. He plays A-Train, who is a Flash equivalent, Quicksilver equivalent. This is the person that ran through Huey's girlfriend. She basically explodes in his arms. There's no apology, and they try to force an apology, but it's quite funny. He did a good job. And then Chase Crawford, who plays the Deep, he was quite funny. It's all, again, play for laughs and kind of a riff on standard superhero themes, but it's done well. Kudos to Amazon for kind of at the pinnacle of all this Marvel Phase 3, that you can do something different with superheroes. So again, you have the Watchmen, you have something like the Avengers, and then you have this middle ground for this satirical look at comic books. So
cast was actually pretty spot on. I honestly wouldn't change the cast much at all. Like Jack Quaid did a good job. That boy's in his 20s. He looked like he was like over 30. I'm like, damn, like he looked kind of old. They all did a really good damn job.
And the guy that played Frenchie, he's not even French. That dude is good.
Like you said, it was like a lot of laughs in it, like a lot of dark comedic humor in it. At the same time, you got the seriousness of what was going on. When Deep drops his pants and goes, I'm like, oh, that's what that's like.
Yeah, somebody that's like doe-eyed and like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make a difference in the world. And it's just like, well, in order to make a difference, you got to jerk the chain.
And his whole storyline, I was kind of wondering where they were going with him. That was the whole point. It was going nowhere. His life went to shit. Yeah. And it's his fault it went to shit. The dolphin thing was hilarious. I mean, it's like,
yeah, good. Yeah, man.
Even though he's kind of a misogynist, he is also passionate about animal rights.
The dolphin thing was hilarious.
So he tries to rescue a dolphin and then winds up killing a dolphin in the process.
Their incompetence makes.
But you saw a lot of character progression with him too. I mean,
yeah, it progressed and. It was kind of like at one point I kind of felt like we talked about it before, like how the accusations and stuff like that can be damaging. But in this case, we saw the actual crime, and
so it actually
deserved. Yeah, he actually deserved it. The punishment definitely fit it, and it was like, no, he deserves it. He needs to learn his lesson. Then what was that one scene? He got like I think he got raped. Chick rape him? I mean,
when he basically took off his shirt.
Yeah, he has gills, so she basically does this weird fetish.
She's like
sticking her fingers in his gills, and it's like, oh, God, oh, this feels so good. Like
sexually assaulted by a fan. And,
I mean, that's karma.
That's some weird shit. Fingers in his gills? What the fuck?
It's karma, man. Pretty good character progression, because it's like...
Yeah.
It's coming back on him, and it seemed like around the end he actually changed, or he was attempting a change. You know what I'm saying? So
right,
it was a good character progression.
I like what they did with Starlight. She didn't progress in some standardized fashion. They kind of kept her build up, get a little stronger and everything. And the ending, I did not see. That did not happen in the comics, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked this interpretation.
I did too.
I thought that was a really good twist that they threw in there, and. Mm. Next season makes me wonder because Homelander was like well done. But again, like the actor for Homelander, Anthony Starr, was phenomenal. The casting was perfect.
I mean, because he played Superman side really well to the public. And then he had the sadistic nature of, hey, well, you pissed me off. I want my way. This is what I'm going to do.
And it wasn't subtle because that whole scene when they finally fly in, he flies in to do the military action and he goes to town and he's like, you can tell he's getting off on it. the way he just kind of handled it, the whole barely contained menace, towards the end, he was just slipping towards the whole, I don't care, I'm just going to do what I want.
He slowly started to become like the Injustice version of Superman.
Ah, that's a little extreme, because the Injustice version of Superman was nowhere near that fucking bad. Like, the Injustice version of Superman did things for the greater good, what he thought was the greater good.
Okay,
the Homelander is just doing this just
because he's being selfish. Yeah, he's being selfish just all for him. So, yeah, in that point, you're correct. But I'm talking about, like, the cruelty aspect of it. Yeah.
He wasn't even being cruel. This guy's just doing shit just to be a dick.
Really enjoyed it, and the ending was good. But I knew something was going to happen because it was something the Homelander kept saying around the end before he lasered that chick was oh man, that was fucked up. But anyway, he lobotomized her ass when he kept saying, so you're mad at me for something that you are not sure about. He kept saying that. It was something like that. And I was like, his wife's not dead.
You don't know if Homelander knew or not.
And it seems like he didn't know.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't know.
He started investigating.
Yeah.
It kind of throws Butcher's whole life all out of whack because his whole purpose was basically to get Homelander and do all this and do
just
all
revenge.
That.
Revenge against Vault, revenge against Homelander. And Huey's just long for a ride. He didn't really care about Huey, but, well, you have something in common.
So let's work together
for
the common goal. And, I mean, he was ready to sacrifice all his friends, too.
She wasn't raped by Homelander. She was a groupie. Is that correct?
No, she got raped.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether it was like, hey, she had an affair with him, or did he actually rape her? Didn't know.
Well, in Homelander's head, he didn't rape her. It was just like, hey, she wanted it. And the way he kind of said it was like that same creepy way. Well, she came into my office. What did she think was going to happen?
Like, yeah, yeah. But like I was saying, I mean, this throws Butcher's life like just totally out of whack. Because right now, he was under the impression his wife was dead. Homelander had something to do with it. Come to find out, she's alive and well, raising the love child that they had. So then, well,
and,
I mean,
and
that's
the whole thing is that Homelander couldn't get anybody pregnant. So he was just doing what he wanted.
In all actuality, Homelander is kind of a victim in this too. Even though he's an asshole and he did rape her, he's somewhat of a victim in this too. It sets it up perfectly for next season. It left it on a nice cliffhanger because now I'm curious what's going to happen.
Yeah, I totally want to see this. I totally want to see what the heck happens. Adrian drops of a heart attack. You're like, what the heck is going on?
Was he a junkie in a comic?
Compound V was a serum developed to give people superpowers. Vought Industries was able to create the serum to create their own brand of superheroes for the express purpose of marketing superheroes.
They started injecting into babies.
Mm-hmm. And Compound V was dumped, so all of the seven had more Compound V pumped into them than anyone else. They were basically, so, you know, Annie wasn't just picked out at random. She was always destined to be on the seven at some point. The whole thing with Butcher and Vault and the whole thing, god damn.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and try to wrap this up. Keith, what score would you give The Boys season one?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9. Far better job than I thought they would. There were a lot of areas where what they did to save money by not having a whole lot of special effects and everything, they did it well. So they still felt super powerful and everything. And again, the cast makes up for any type of lack of action-y spectacle that one would expect from a superhero film. The dark humor and the cast and the writing made up for a lot of that. And I actually found myself just enjoying that a lot more, especially after Avengers Endgame.
All right, Matt.
I'd give this a 9 as well. From what I've been told, the budget wasn't as big as other series, although I've been told season 2, they're actually giving them more money, so I'm going to be pleasantly surprised on how it turns out. The only reason I'm giving it is 9 is I wanted more than 8 episodes. Hoping that it would have been like 10 or 12, but they gave us 8.
I think that was a good balance. Like the 8 episodes, like the 13, 15 episodes, that would have been way too much for the show. So
but that's the only reason I give it 9, because I wanted more, because it was so compelling. But 9 overall, I can't wait for season 2.
James.
Give it a 9 as well. I really, really did enjoy it. I have very low expectations and exceeded my expectations more than I imagined. It was well-rounded. I was interested in the characters. I was interested in the story. And like I was mentioning earlier, ended the season on a cliffhanger. And now I'm curious on like, how they're going to continue on like this. Like, what's going to happen? Homelander, what's going to happen with Butcher? What's going to happen with all of them? I'm invested. So because of that, I give it a 9, and I watched it all the way through. I don't binge watch things that often, but this one I could not stop watching. Everyone did a good job acting. The characters were likable. You just said that the guy that played Frenchie wasn't even from France or French or whatever. He did a great job because, I mean, I thought he was, to be honest with you. I definitely give it a 9. I'm looking forward to next season.
All right. So I also give this a 9. It was surprising. And again, coming off of all the Marvel stuff, this was just something different. Pretty easy to continue trying to do that. Like trying to do like whatever DC's trying to do now with Shazam and Aquaman and or what Marvel is doing. And this is a entirely different spin. Played for laughs. It's played to be a satire on what's happening or what occurs in real life as far as like the news and more popular things like that. Then you also have like Karen Fukuhara, who was in Suicide Squad, that, you know, she shows up and she has a particular role in this show. Everybody kind of loses something. Laz Alonso's character loses something. Like his family, he's trying to reform himself. Then you also have like Carl Urban, he lost something. What would happen if superheroes were controlled by like an evil corporation? And that's all you need to know. And you know, if you have a chance, watch it. Kudos to Amazon, and that's the Beast Game Podcast.